Chapter 75. The Marine Corps never liked the Beretta as much as the Army did, so Devereaux was handling mine with proficiency, but less than total enthusiasm. She dumped the magazine, ejected an unfired round, checked the chamber, racked the slide, and then put the whole thing back together again. She said,
"I'm sorry. It was in your jacket pocket. I wondered what it was. It was digging into my ass. I'm going to have a bruise."
"In which case, it's me that's sorry," I said. "Your ass deserves nothing but the best. It's a national treasure, or a regional attraction at the very least."
She smiled at me and stood up unsteady and went in search of her pants. Her shirt tail hung down, but not far enough.
"No bruise yet," she asked.
"Why did you bring a gun?"
"Habit," I said.
"Were you expecting trouble?"
"Anything's possible."
"I left mine in the car."
"So did lots of dead people."
"It's just the two of us here."
"As far as we know."
"You're paranoid."
"But alive," I said. "And you haven't arrested anyone yet."
"The Army can't prove a negative," she said. "Therefore, they must know who it was." "They should tell me."
I said nothing in reply to that. I followed her lead and staggered to my feet and picked up my pants. We got dressed, hopping from foot to foot together, and then we perched side by side on the Caprice's rear bumper and laced our shoes. Getting back to the road was no real problem. Devereaux did it in reverse, backing up onto the track like parallel parking, then backing all the way to the crossing, and then turning the wheel and taking off forward. We were in my hotel room 5 minutes later, in bed. She went straight to sleep. I didn't. I lay in the dark and stared at the ceiling and thought.
Mostly, I thought about my last conversation with Leon Garber, my commanding officer, an honest man and my friend as far as I knew, but cryptic. "It's the truth," he had said. She was a Marine Reacher, 16 years in. She knew all about cutting throats. She knew how to do it, and she knew how to pretend she didn't. Then he had gotten a little impatient. "A man with your instincts," he had said about me. Later, I had pushed the issue. "You could order me not to go back to Mississippi," I had said. "I could," he had said, "but I won't. Not you. I trust you to do the right thing." The conversation replayed endlessly in my head. The truth. Instincts. The right thing. In the end, I fell asleep very late and completely unsure whether Garber had been telling me something or asking me something. My long-held belief that there was no better time than the second time was put to a severe test when we woke up, because the fifth time was also pretty terrific. We were both a little stiff and sore after our outdoor extravaganza, so we took it gently, long and slow, and the warmth and the comfort of the bed helped a lot. Plus, neither one of us knew whether there would ever be a sixth time, which added a little poignancy to the occasion. Afterward, we lay quiet for a while, and then she asked me when I was leaving, and I said I didn't know. We ate breakfast together in the diner, and then she went to work, and I went to use the phone. I tried to call Frances Nagley at her desk in D.C., but she wasn't back yet, probably still on an all-night bus somewhere. So I dialed Stan Lowry instead and got him right away. I said, "I need you to do something else for me." He said, "No jokes this morning about how you're surprised I'm still here?"
I didn't have time to think of any. I wanted Nagley, not you. You should try to get hold of her as soon as you can. She's better than you at this kind of stuff.
Better than you, too.
What do you need?
Fast answers, I said.
To what questions?
Statistically speaking, where would we be most likely to find U.S. Marines and concrete flood sluices in close proximity?
Southern California, Lowry said. Statistically speaking, almost certainly Camp Pendleton, north of San Diego.
Correct, I said. I need to trace a Jarhead MP who was there 5 years ago. His name is Paul Evers.
Why?
Because his parents were Mr. and Mrs. Evers, and they liked the name Paul, I guess.
No. Why do you want to trace him?
I want to ask him a question.
Lowry said, You're forgetting something.
Like what?
I'm in the Army, not the Marine Corps. I can't get into their files.
That's why you need to call Nagley. She'll know how to do it.
Paul Evers, he said slowly, like he was writing it down.
Call Nagley, I said again. This is urgent. I'll get back to you. I hung up with Lowry and shoveled more coins into the slot and called the Kellum number Monroe had given Devereaux right back at the beginning. The call went through to some guy who wasn't Monroe. He told me Monroe had left at first light in a car to Birmingham, Alabama. I said I knew that had been the plan. I asked the guy to check if it had actually happened. So the guy called the visiting officer's quarters and came back to me and said, no, it hadn't actually happened. Monroe was still on the post. The guy gave me a number for his room and I hung up and redialed. Monroe answered, and I said, thank you for sticking around. He said, but what am I sticking around for? Right now, I'm just hiding out in my room. I'm not very popular here, you know.
You didn't join the Army to be popular.
What do you need?
I need to know Reed Riley's movements today.
Why?
I want to ask him a question.
That could be difficult. As far as I know, he's going to be pretty much tied up all day. You might be able to grab him over lunch, if he gets time for lunch, that is. And if he does, it will be very early.
No, I need him to come to me, in town.
You don't understand. The mood has changed here. Bravo Company is out from under the cloud. Riley's father is flying in for a visit.
The senator? Today?
ETA, close to 1 o'clock this afternoon. Billed as an off-the-record celebration of what the guys are doing in Kosovo.
How long will it last?
You know what politicians are like. The old guy is supposed to watch some training crap in the afternoon, but dollars to donuts he'll get a real hard on and want to hang around all night drinking with the boys.
Okay, I said. I'll figure something out.
Anything else?
Well, since you've got nothing to do except sit around all day, you could tell me a couple of things.
What things?
The phone started beeping at me, and I said, why don't you call me back on the government's dime? I read out the number from the dial and hung up. I walked to my table to pay the breakfast check, and by the time I got back to the phone, it was ringing.
What things? Monroe said again.
Impressions, mainly. About Kellum, as in, is there a good reason for Alpha Company and Bravo Company to be based there?
As opposed to where else?
Anywhere else, east of the Mississippi River.
Kellum is pretty isolated, Monroe said. Helps with the secrecy thing.
That's what they told me, too. But I don't buy it. There are secrets on every base. They could keep the lid on this thing anywhere. Kosovo is not even interesting. Who would even listen? But they chose Kellum a year ago. Why did they do that? Have you seen anything about Kellum that would make it the only choice?
No, Monroe said. Not really. It's adequate, no question, but not essential. I assume it was about sending 400 extra wallets to a dying town.
Exactly, I said. It was political.
What isn't?
One more thing, I said. You're clear about how Janice Chapman ended up in that alley, right?
I hope so, he said. Based on what I saw last night, Chief Devereaux operates an exclusion zone in terms of Main Street itself. She makes sure all the action happens between the bars and the railroad track. Therefore, both Main Street and the alley would have been deserted. Therefore, the perp must have stopped on Main Street and carried the corpse in from that direction.
How long would it have taken?
Doesn't matter. No one was there to see. Could have been a minute, could have been 20.
But why there? Why not somewhere else? 10 miles away.
The body was supposed to be found, I guess.
Plenty of lonelier places it would still have been found. So why there?
I don't know, Monroe said. Maybe the perp was constrained in some way. Maybe he had company somewhere close by, like the diner or one of the bars. Maybe he had to duck out and take care of it real fast. Maybe he couldn't be gone for long without somebody noticing. So maybe he had to trade safety for speed, which would dictate a nearby location.
Can you give me another day? I said. Can you be here tomorrow?
No, he said. I'm going to get my butt kicked bad for being one day late. I can't risk two.
Pussy, I said.
He laughed. Sorry, man, but if you don't get it done today, you're on your own.